¡Ale!
¡Sí, señor!
Bienvenidos and welcome to the Familia FFB podcast. This is the final edition of the week, week three of the NFL season 2020. I'm Jorge Georgie Martin, joined by my primos, Ricky Torres, Hector Reyes. ¿Cómo estamos, boys?
What's up, guys? Good.
Ready for some football?
Good. Ready. Yes. Always.
All right. All right. Gracias, everybody, for joining us. Es un placer, como siempre. And estamos aquí a servirlos. Make sure you're checking out our original content on our FamiliaFFB.com website, as well as our social media channels, at FamiliaFFB on Twitter and Instagram, as well as our FamiliaFFB Facebook page. All right, well, last night was Thursday Night Football. Jacksonville, Miami.
We thought it was going to be a continuation of Minshew Mania, but it was actually the Ryan Fitzmagic show on Thursday Night Football. Ryan Fitzpatrick completed his first 12 passes and finished 18 to 20 for 160 yards and two TDs. He also ran seven times for 38 yards and a TD, with my favorite highlight being when he was the lead blocker on a sweep from Miles Gaskin and threw his right throwing shoulder into the defender. So, hey, if you saw Bull Durham, Crash Davis says you don't hit drunks with your pitching hand. So I say you don't hit 250-pound linebackers with your throwing shoulder. So last night, though, the running backs in this game were revelations. James Robinson of the Jags, he further solidified his grasp on the Jacksonville starting job with 11 carries, 46 yards, and two TDs. He just looked like a starting running back. He also caught all six of his targets for 83 yards. The Dolphins, on the other side, Gaskin, he turned 27 touchdowns into 95 total yards. There were five receptions included in there. He really just looked like their main, most dynamic running back. However, the one rushing TD by Miami was a one-yard plunge by Jordan Howard, which has become his specialty for the Dolphins. It could be a headache for those who are expecting big things on Miles Gaskin, but lo siento, así es como va. Devontae Parker led the Dolphins with five receptions for 69 yards, though there were a couple times that the camera showed that he may have been favoring his leg that was kind of nursing a hamstring strain during training camp. Mike Gesicki and Preston Williams both caught TDs in the game, but neither was really a major factor on a night that the Dolphins really ran the ball a ton down the Jacksonville defense, down their throats. It was pretty impressive to see that them do that. I mean, I guess that's what happens when two teams that are not very good face each other. Back to Minshew, he looked off for the first time all season. He going 30 of 42 for 275 yards, zero TDs, one INT. Full disclosure, Familia, I made him my streamer of the week. I guess I can't be right all the time, but you know, I should have looked at the beard instead. Minshew ran three times for 22 yards, but for the first time this season, it really looked like he missed DJ Chark, who he was out for the game, nursing a chest injury. Hope the extra rest gets him back soon, because fantasy managers really need him. Aside from Robinson and Robinson's work in the passing game, Keelan Cole was the Jacksonville receiving leader with four catches for 43 yards. Laviska Shenault, 33 yards. Chris Conley, 34 yards. They weren't big factors in the passing game in this one. So that's it for Thursday Night Football.
Now it's time for some chisme.
Chisme!
Well, it's more injuries. Looks like Zach Moss is out for the Ram game on Sunday. Bills head coach Sean McDermott has declared that Moss is out with a toe injury. So I think this really makes Devin Singletary more of a factor this week in the backfield. It looks like he's got the backfield. He's going to be the lead caballo by himself. So fire up Singletary in your leagues. On the NFL Network's Ian Rappaport reports that Julio Jones' status is up in the air for Sunday's game against the Bears. Julio kind of was nursing a hamstring during training camp. It seemed like it flamed up in the game against the Cowboys, which probably contributed to him having a less than stellar game. So got to keep an eye on this one for the inactives on Sunday. Keep an eye on the fact that Russell Gage is going to be a big play. He might be a play anyway, because the way these teams have been playing, the way the Falcons have been playing, they've just been wonderful for fantasy owners who are firing up their passing game. Back to the Rams, Malcolm Brown got in a full practice on Thursday, so it's looking like he'll be available on Sunday. It still looks like it's going to be Daryl Henderson's backfield to himself. Cam Akers, the other injured running back for the Rams. Looks like he's probably going to be sitting out this game. Sean McVay, head coach of the Rams, mentioned that it's probably that his rib cage injury is not healing as fast as they would have liked. Over to the Raiders, Darren Waller did not participate in practice on Thursday, and it's looking like that's due to a knee injury. And it also looked like Josh Jacobs was not participating in practice. Now, keep an eye on the practice reports for Friday, because that'll really tell if these were just a couple of maintenance days after Monday Night Football where both players were really, really worked hard, or if it's real injuries. So we're going to see that one. Go over to the Saints for Sunday Night Football. Michael Thomas did not practice on Thursday. I mean, I think we all expected that this would be kind of a lingering thing that was going to, I think we've seen reports up to about 4 weeks for this injury. High ankle sprains take a while. Remember Saquon Barkley last season? That was just that was horrible for fantasy players. And this looks like it could be much of the same with Michael Thomas. And with it being the Sunday night game, you better have something in your pocket. Devontae Adams is another player who's been limited. He did rehab work on the sidelines through Wednesday, Thursday, the first 2 days of practice. Again, that's a Sunday night game. You want to have Marquez Valdez-Scantling or Alan Lazard available, or if you've got Tre'Quan Smith and you want to bank on Michael Thomas being out, do that one as well. Another injury update. These are still piling up from Sunday, though this one happened the week before. AJ Brown did not practice on Thursday. He's got a bone bruise on his knee. He didn't practice last week. It's really trending like he's going to miss the game on Sunday. I mean, because these bone bruises take some time. I'm thinking Corey Davis is going to be a play. Jonnu Smith caught 2 touchdowns last week. It's another inviting matchup against the Vikings. So you definitely want to have a piece of this Titans passing game. Over in San Francisco, tight end George Kittle looks like he's dealing with a bone bruise on his knee, where he also has his MCL sprain. So, the report is he's going to try and play. I would bank on the fact that the coaching staff and management are going to say, sit this one out. The 49ers have expressed some concern over the turf at MetLife Stadium. Obviously, it cost Nick Bosa and Solomon Thomas injuries to their ACLs, and Jimmy Garoppolo sprained ankles. So be ready with Jordan Reed just in case. Jordan Reed is healthy. Get him ready. Lastly, on Monday Night Football, Sammy Watkins has entered the concussion protocol. Now he entered that yesterday, so not exactly sure what day he went into the concussion protocol, but I'm banking on him being sitting out. So I don't think he's going to play, which to me says Mecole Hardman is a player that needs to get full consideration to be in your starting lineup. This is going to be a high-scoring game with the Baltimore Ravens, and we've seen that that Patrick Mahomes does have an eye for Mecole Hardman. Obviously, he's going to be throwing all over the place to Kelce and Tyreek Hill, and throwing some dump offs to CEH, but I've got Hardman in a league, and I'm going to look to play him this week.
All right, let's jump into finishing up the week 3 previews. Ricky, right, take us to Philly.
Well, in Philly, we have the Bengals 0-2 at the Philadelphia no receiving Eagles. It's the first time you're going to see an Eagle not be able to fly. Ladies and gentlemen, there are no wide receivers on this team. They pretty much are just going to go through Goedert and Ertz. And I think Miles Sanders is going to be a sneaky pick. But in some reason, I don't know why, Philly is favored by 4.5 with an over-under of 46.5. And I think after what we saw Burrow do last week, how dare they? The Philadelphia Eagles have not shown that they can be a stout defense. They're 0-2, for God's sake. And Carson Wentz just has no players to throw to other than the tight ends. And if the Bengals were horrible at covering tight ends, you would have seen Hooper go off last week. But you didn't. So it's going to be real strange to see what Philadelphia is able to do against the Bengals. And I don't mean that because the Bengals are a good defense. But Philadelphia is just going to be able to run it and throw it to their tight ends. So can they open the field up? Hopefully they can, because I think Miles Sanders is a beast of a running back. And I think on the Bengals, he can easily get over 100 yards, get back to that territory. But I definitely wouldn't start DeSean Jackson. Dude's garbage. I don't even understand why people – you like him?
This week against that bad Cincinnati defense, I think he's gonna get one long ball, and it's going to make his week.
He'll be like a 60-yard touchdown?
It'll be like –
that's garbage. I don't even want that. Like, I wouldn't pick him to be – like, for DFS, sure. But, oh, my God, Georgie, that's risky. I think going with Goedert is risky sounding, but I think that's way more solid than going with DeSean Jackson.
I actually like this game as kind of like I'm calling it a get right game for Carson Wentz, because it's just such a bad defense for the Bengals. And
I think it's gonna be like last week. And I think basically when you had a crappy team like the Browns get to play the Bengals, they're like, hey, we get to look like we're good again. And I feel like that's what Carson Wentz is going to be able to say. Hey, we get to look like we're good again.
I think so.
I still think Burrow's going to have a great game. I don't like Mixon ever. But I do think Tyler Boyd's going to have another good game, because, I mean, Burrow's just going to be able to do whatever he wants. It looks like the team loves him, and they already know they're going to be losing games, but they want to really help him grow. And I just don't think Philly's got it in them. They got a bad D. Not a bad D, but they got no offense, and a bad offense hurts the defense a lot.
Their O-line is pretty weak, too. They're still trying to find themselves. So, yeah, we'll see if Philly can put up a copycat act of what the Browns did last week against the Bengals. But I don't know. I don't really see it happening. Vegas obviously knows something whenever Vegas sets
right?
lines.
Like, because that's
it's like this. They just know something. I don't know what they know, but they know. Like George said, maybe it's a game where DeSean Jackson gets, you know, maybe one or two long, you know, sneaky long balls. He sneaks up behind the defense and he gets maybe a couple long ball tosses for a touchdown somehow, some way. Maybe Vegas sees something or knows something about maybe a DB on Cincinnati is gimpy, or who knows what. He's, you know, had the flu, or I don't know. They know something, but so be careful.
I already congratulated Burrow last show, so I'm not gonna go back on my word.
Yeah, I'm not saying they're gonna do it. I'm just saying Vegas is weird like that, man.
I do like Burrow.
Who would you guys pick in the game, though, like for the win?
I'd pick Cincinnati to win.
Ooh,
you don't think Cincinnati's gonna win, Georgie? I think they're gonna win.
I think they're gonna cover. I don't think they're gonna win. I think it's gonna be Philly by a field goal. They're gonna cover that 4.5. I like Burrow a lot, and he kind of has that. He kind of has that it factor that Deshaun Watson has. There were some plays that he was making. I felt like I was watching Deshaun Watson just creating magic out of nothing. And I can hardly wait till he has an offensive line to protect him. Mm-hmm. So I think that
he's already got the receivers.
He's already got the receivers. All right, I really like Tyler Boyd. And Drew Sample came out of nowhere. 9 targets last week after C.J. Uzomah got hurt. So – this one's I think it's gonna be closer than 4.5, and I believe I saw something where this opened up like at a 6-point spread and dropped it, and it's down to like 4.5 wow. now. So Vegas always knows
after the performance last week.
No, it opened up on Monday.
Oh,
so that just tells you that the smart guys started putting a lot of money on it.
On the Bengals.
On the Bengals. Yep. So,
yeah. Yeah, because that's what I said. So.
Yeah. So I think they cover, but I don't think they win. I think Philly wins this game.
Yeah, I think so. Smart guys go with Bengals.
So I'm gonna take us over to Pittsburgh. Texans at Steelers. Pittsburgh is a 4-point favorite, 44.5. And I mean, there are a few teams I think that have looked better than the Steelers so far. I mean, Big Ben had, you know, it was really rough on Monday Night Football initially, but then he really turned it on. I mean, gosh, Deontay Johnson looks like a stud out there. James Conner looked like, I mean, I was a mensal and dropped him. I mean, not dropped him. I sat him on two of my teams last week.
I can't believe you did that.
And both of those cost me wins. Both of those sits cost me wins. So,
and then those who started Benny Snell and got that fumble, it's like,
oh, we got negative points. Just, oh, but this one, I mean, Houston does not have a good defense, especially against the pass. I think James Conner is set up to have another good game. And Big Ben, you know, he's doing whatever he wants to do with Deontay Johnson. And then Juju had a quiet game, but he had 7 receptions last week. And, you know, Chase Claypool, 84-yard touchdown. We're going to really find out about Eric Ebron this week. If he's going to be someone worth trying to, you know, play or stream or something like that. Because Pittsburgh's been good. I mean, I almost sat on one of my teams. I almost sat Big Ben for Tannehill. I would have
stopped sitting good people, George.
I know. I tell you. And well, in Familia League, I started Big Ben for Jared Goff. So I don't know. But, you know, some people are.
When you get those thoughts in your head, you should just pause.
Yeah, exactly. Well, one of them was there's been some chatter on Twitter that Deshaun Watson was somebody worth sitting this week. And against such this is his third tough matchup in a row to start the season. And I mean,
albeit it's probably the third best team that they played, because Baltimore and Kansas City are way better and they made the defense look worse than it is. And I don't know. I know Big Ben's been great, but I mean, I feel like a lot of teams are better than Pittsburgh. They played Denver, Denver was injured, so it's like they better have won that game. So
I don't think there's a lot of teams that are better than Pittsburgh. There are, I mean, I think two teams that you just mentioned, Baltimore and Kansas City, are considered better, but I don't think it's a long list.
I just think Houston, because they went against Baltimore and Kansas City, I think they're already conditioned, and I think they're going to give Pittsburgh a really good game. And if worst case scenario, Pittsburgh does score a lot on Houston, Deshaun Watson's going to have a hell of a game because he's going to get garbage time. And I hope Will Fuller is back because that's the type of game where he excels.
So here's the interesting thing. Will Fuller did not appear on an injury report today. So we don't know what in the world. We don't know qué pasó. So
they never released what happened last weekend?
Right. So as of right now, he was healthy. He just put up a big donut.
Probably just got a Charlie horse.
Yeah.
So but go ahead.
But Brandon Cooks looked a lot better. He looked healthy. He had a very good game. And, I mean, I think he had like 95 yards last week. So he was really good. I've got Fuller on one team and Cooks on another one. I mean, Cooks, I have to play him on one team because I have 4 flexes. But I'm really looking at sitting Will Fuller this week.
If Will Fuller is playing, you have to play him, Georgie.
But against Pittsburgh.
Yeah, because so garbage good. Time. I mean.
Here's the thing, though, Rick.
You're doing a good job.
In 2 garbage time games for the Texans, they have a total of 36 points in 2 games where there was garbage.
Will Fuller only played 1 game. Please tell me how he did. Over 100 yards. That's it. Dude always does that when he's healthy. Worst thing is he's never healthy. So when he is, you put him in your starting lineup. That's it.
We'll see. I don't like Houston in this game at all. I think Houston continues. They're 0-2. KC has a good defense. I don't think they have an elite defense. You know, they have a good defense. Baltimore, yes, has an elite defense. But against Kansas City, I mean, they scored 20 points. KC's defense, they scored 20 points. And KC's
defense is still a top 10 defense.
And they had – remember, against the Chiefs, after 3 quarters, the Texans had 7 points. In the fourth quarter, they scored the other 13 points. And
which is why you want them for garbage time.
But if that, I mean, I don't know. I don't want to trust that you know. I just don't see Deshaun Watson being a garbage time type quarterback. I don't know. I see in this game he starts maybe forces a couple things to try to get on the board early, and I think maybe that cost him some turnovers, and because he is known to make some bad decisions. He did that in the first game against KC, you know, last game against Baltimore, they scored 16 points. So I don't know.
Bro, we got to play daily fantasy against each other because I would eat you up weekly.
Beer bets.
Oh, beer bets all around. Beer bets all around. Buddy. Well, Ricky, you're doing a good job of convincing me to play Will Fuller.
You have to. The dude, when he's healthy, is good. The thing is, he's never healthy. But if they're going to tell you and here's the thing. I would, like, have the channel. I wouldn't even have it on Red Zone. I'd have it on the – wherever the game is, I would have it on the Pittsburgh News Channel so I could hear immediately whether Will Fuller is going to play or not. Because you saw last week how all of a sudden Herbert's starting. I didn't notice until the first snap. You don't want that to happen to you because you don't want a zero for Fuller. But there's a possibility he can't. But I'm telling you, if he's playing, he's golden.
Oh, all right. Except for last week.
As Trump would say, what do you got to lose?
Oh, hopefully he loses a lot on them. We won't get political. Hector, take us to Indy. This is This is the biggest spread of the weekend.
All right. So we've talked a little bit about, you know, Vegas knowing what they're doing, knowing a thing or two. The New York Jets.
I think we all
just,
knew this. Though.
The New York Jets. The wheels have pretty much come off the bus to a large degree. Le'Veon Bell's gone. Adam Gase is still the coach. Rashad Perriman's hurt. Jamison Crowder has a bad hammy. He didn't practice on Wednesday. And their starting running back is Frank Gore. This is not even real. I mean, this is like a soap opera show of a football team. Minus 11.
We got Corazon Roto. I don't know. We got to come up with a name for what the Jets are right now.
I don't know, man. I don't know what you. I don't want you.
They're
call
the replacements because I wouldn't have Darnold on my team unless he was second, third string. Gore's only there obviously because he was the backup and someone got injured. How it is on every team he goes to.
It's like the cast of El Chavo del Ocho, like they're like the outcasts, you know, like
pretty much. Because even Herndon, like, he's an outcast and he hasn't even played the game that long.
You know, it's like, yeah, these are like the El Chavo del Ocho kids on the Jets. Minus 11. I don't think that spread is too high. I think that's a fair spread.
It's Philip
Rivers.
Enough.
Philip Rivers, and you can piggyback when I'm done here, Rick. You can tell, obviously, you've been a Philip Rivers fan. Your fantasy football name used to be named after Philip Rivers. Last week, he went 19 of 25 for 214 yards and a score. The week before that, he threw for 300 and some ungodly number of yards. Jonathan Taylor, they got a great running game, 26 carries, 101 yards and a score. T.Y. Hilton, I'm just a little bit confused as how he hasn't done much these first couple games. I think two games, like 78 yards. Michael Pittman, 4 catches, 37 yards. I think he'll have a good game. But I think Philip Rivers just eats these guys for breakfast. Depending on if it's a morning game, it's breakfast. If it's an afternoon game, he'll eat them for lunch. I don't see the Jets even being competitive in this game. Philip Rivers goes bananas and just chucks the ball all over the place, and they run all over the place, all over the Jets. I just don't understand how these guys even have an NFL squad. It's pretty embarrassing.
I think you're right. And I think what's sad is, I mean, there's no one on the Jets that I would want on my fantasy team to start.
I wouldn't start anybody. I might start Herndon just because someone has to catch something. And
no, they don't. No, they don't.
Well, you're right. Indy is a little vulnerable to the pass. So they're more vulnerable to the pass than the run.
And by the way, I did pick up Indy. I'm one of those defense streamers for all you defense streamers out there.
And that's not
a
bad idea.
I picked up Indy against the Jets at a minus 11. How could you not pick up Indy as a streaming defense? They're the number one. I think as far as streaming defenses, they're your top pick for sure.
So, I've actually heard a bunch of fantasy experts say, don't even worry about a defense. Stream them. weekly. So that's interesting you say that, Heck, because I love having one dominant defense, but streaming your defenses is also.
I always have two defenses on my team, and I'll usually flip flop, and I'll drop one and pick up one, and I'll look, you know, look for the next several weeks on the schedule, see who's got some, you know, got some juicy matchups that you can take advantage of against your opponents, and as you know, stash a second defense on your squad and just flip flop, you know, and get the most out of your get the most bang for your buck there. So it's a
I just want to say this.
Yeah,
I'm giving up on T.Y. Hilton.
Yeah.
Georgie, you ruined me on him too. You gave me a bad taste in my mouth because of last year.
Ay, mijo. Well, I'm telling you this: if T.Y. Hilton does not have a breakout game against
in this matchup,
here's the thing: is that just going to be a mirage? Because I feel like he should have a good one, but after that, it's like he's just going to go back to 3-28, right?
It could be. That could be, but yeah, that's the thing that's going to drive up its value. I mean, I would say if you've got T.Y. Hilton, trade him, enjoy sell this high. Week, and then trade him after this week.
Yeah, sell high. Get him. T.Y. Hilton, two touchdowns and 175 yards. Who wants him?
And they'd be like, oh my God, Rivers really loves him. Everyone wants this.
Yes. I mean, maybe Philip Rivers found his new Antonio Gates with Mo Alley Cox, another former basketball player. Had his five catches and six targets for 111 yards and zero touchdowns. But, you know, with Jack Doyle out, and it's not looking like he's going to play again this week. I picked him up on one of my leagues. I'm starting him.
Is Paris Campbell playing this week? Because didn't he get injured?
He's out.
So this is perfect for Mo Alley Cox. This is definitely your DFS play of the week.
Yeah, he's going to be Gates 2.0. Exactly.
He's going to be cheaper than Michael Pittman.
Oh, he's much cheaper.
So this guy should be your huge
DFS pick. Yep.
So I got one more note on this, and we can move on. I did a little hashtag research.
Hey,
Frank Gore is age 37 right now. So Jonathan Taylor just turned 21 earlier this year. So if he were to start, Jonathan Taylor, if he were to start at age 37, the year would have to be 2036.
Jesus. Sounds like a movie.
I already feel old.
The year is 2036.
I would already be collecting Social Security at that point. So
good God.
And still doing this podcast though. So.
My God.
Oh man. Ricky, take us to the Chargers. I think you're loving this week.
Well, I'm just thinking about that. You made me feel old, and that's hard, man. All right. So
now you get to feel like a vehicle.
Right? We have the Panthers 0-2 at the Chargers 1-1. That beautiful SoFi Stadium. Once again, I get to see where my season ticket seats are. And at 1 p.m., this is going to be the first one you see, and this is what you're going to want to see. Because I'm going to tell you what, the Chargers are going to pretty much look amazing this game. The Panthers have not shown to have any type of defense. I think most of their defense came from the Jets because they are just that horrible. So this is what I think. I think Justin Herbert, last week, he got two touchdowns in the first half against the Kansas City Chiefs. If he can't do that against Carolina, then last week was definitely a fluke. And I think you're also going to want to take Austin Eckler. A lot of people have been high on Joshua Kelly because he got 50% of everything last week compared to Eckler. I'm not willing to give it to Kelly yet. I think, you know what, Eckler's been the dog for this team the past 4 or 5 years, and now that he finally gets to be the lead caballo, I think he needs to get it. They need to show it. I'm not sure if you guys watched the game last week, but Eckler just moves so well. The spin moves he does, it's like, why isn't he playing every game? He has breakout potential, or every play. He has breakout potential every play. But you know what? I think this is the perfect game to where the Chargers can really see what they're capable of. So I think no matter what, if you start Joshua Kelly, you start Eckler, you're going to score points. Hopefully you got Herbert, because I think he's going to be a really good player, because Tyrod Taylor's probably done for the
year. Retired.
He's probably retired. I won't go that far.
He's probably going to retire.
He probably should retire. So, and this only makes Keenan Allen better. This only makes Mike Williams better, and Hunter Henry is finally healthy. He's finally doing what everyone's expecting him to do. He's not to that top seven, top five marquee yet, but he's getting there. And if Herbert can show everyone how good he is and actually be more consistent and make smart plays, because last week he made some dumb ones, I think you're looking at a amazingly offensive team. And when you look at Carolina, they're horrible at defense. So this is where they got to do it. And on the reverse side of the ball, the Chargers shut down Patrick Mahomes for the whole game. They just couldn't do it in overtime. I mean, I don't know if Hector saw this game and got scared and that's why he dropped Teddy B. But Teddy B is definitely isn't going to be good this game. Mike Davis. I did.
I actually saw this game and I said, oh my God, the Chargers.
I feel like you said, if I drop Teddy B, no one's going to pick him up anyways.
No. Here's what I said because I dropped Teddy B, picked up Minshew. I said, if I don't pick up Minshew this game and I keep Teddy B and then he has another crappy game against the Chargers, which I know he will, and Minshew goes off again for three touchdowns and I miss out, I figured that maybe I'll miss out a chance to get him, that you had the number one waiver pick. I thought maybe you might scoop him up. Like, I didn't want to take a chance. You know what I'm saying? I didn't want to take a chance of missing out.
I'll tell you,
out
hearing that, on, I respect on Minshew. I respect you a little more.
I had to take a dive. And I'm going to say this to all Familia Land out there. I think there's a conspiracy theory. I'm going to put it down right now. Rick, my cousin, is an ER nurse. Tyrod Taylor's doctor, the doctor, 2 days before Herbert started and Tyrod got hurt, Rick sent me a trade request, Tyler Boyd for Keenan Allen. And I said, and Rick's saying, like, oh man,
that's, you know, fair. That's,
no one's gonna use, you know, Keenan's not gonna play and Tyler Boyd's not gonna play. Just let me have Keenan Allen. And of course I said no, because I wanted to keep Keenan Allen. And of course, like within the next 36 hours, this doctor, you know, jams a, you know, 10-inch needle into Tyrod Taylor's back and pokes a hole in his lung. So I think Rick and this doctor, I'm gonna go on record to say they were in cahoots to do this just so that Rick could get Keenan Allen. I'm saying it now.
Probably. I'll tell you what. I feel bad for the doc because I feel like so many people are going to come down on him. Like, how can you puncture something? You know what? Tyrod Taylor probably felt the pain and squinched, and that's probably why his lung got punctured.
Right? He probably moved.
I mean, hey, get your early retirement. Who doesn't want an early retirement, right?
Yeah, well, especially this year. I mean, geez.
Apparently, this kind of punctured lung does happen occasionally with that kind of shot because Yikes. The lung is so close.
Oh, it's one of those, so, like the shot from Pulp Fiction, like with the adrenaline shot.
Yes,
like Mia Wallace's chest, like right there with the red circle with the felt tip pen right there on her heart, like the shot of adrenaline, like the stabbing motion, just.
I'm just kidding.
I feel highly irresponsible as a nurse. Not telling you that's not how it is.
Yes, go for it.
Because I saw that meme too.
I'm getting flashbacks of Uma Thurman, her eyes coming out of her eye sockets.
Say something.
So finishing on this game, I just think the defense is too tough for even DJ Moore or Robbie Anderson, who've looked great, to really get good fantasy numbers.
And you know what? I think so many people spend a lot of fab or use waiver wire. I was one of them.
On who?
On Mike Davis. And I think it's very possible he's going to disappoint this week.
Your fab money will still come out later. I think it's just unfortunate it's this week.
Later.
Yeah. But it's a good pickup. Yeah,
but it's great for my Chargers.
Yeah. Oh, it's great for your Chargers. So
I'm going to play against CMC.
Should I start DJ Moore, Rick? Am I starting DJ Moore, Rick?
Because he's a wide receiver one, you'd have to see who you have instead of him.
Yeah.
I don't know.
We'll review.
Because there's players in the NFL where it's just like, no matter what, I have to play them because I drafted them early and they're WR1s. It's just hard to sit them. Like it's really hard to sit Stafford because of all the hype he has, even if you have Minshew against Miami.
Yeah,
I feel like DJ Moore's the same thing. He's one of the guys you have to just – go with no matter the matchup.
Right.
Those players suck to have when they're doing bad.
Right.
And that's what I've noticed with fantasy baseball. Like, yeah. So it sucks because you got to ride DJ Moore. And he probably will do this bad this game, But you'll kick yourself in the head if he does good and you didn't put him in.
Exactly, because he's my WR1. Exactly.
Because you're going to be like, duh, of course I should have put him in.
Yes, like I did with James Conner.
Yeah, in your honor, George, I will start DJ Moore.
Well, let's go to Denver. I got the Buccaneers at Broncos. This is kind of a little bit of a strange game. I mean, this is going to be TB12. Taking the Bucks, Chris Godwin's out of the concussion protocol, so that's a good thing. Mike Evans, let's see if we can fire him up. The Denver defense, the secondary is really banged up, so there is some good possibilities for him to do well. I still don't know if I trust Leonard Fournette as the lead caballo on this team. I don't know.
I feel you there.
I'm just worried that Ronald Jones is going to eat into that.
Now that it's week three and Fournette has had time to learn the offense, have we seen him catch any balls? Because in Jacksonville, he used to catch a lot of balls coming out of the backfield, and we know that Tom Brady likes to do that. He had James White, and Tom Brady likes to throw balls to the running back. So I think
now in
week three, maybe we see some more of that. I don't know.
I think Tom Brady right now in his career likes to go out to a lead and then just give it to the running back.
Yeah.
Like, I think he realizes – it's about the NFL. It's not about fantasy, meaning it's not about his numbers. It's about the fact that they win, because either way, he'll still look good, because he hasn't been anything great, guys, but he still has a win.
Yeah,
and he played a tough team against New Orleans. And last week, he should have thrown the ball all over the place, but he didn't. Why? Because it was an easy win, and that's why we saw Fournette come out, get over 100 yards. That's the type of game Tom Brady wants. So –
is he a game manager now?
Yeah, but he's the most – he's going to be like a game manager that wins 90% of those games.
But is he fantasy relevant then if he's going to be doing that, you know, throwing 180 yards?
I wouldn't want him on my team because right. I wouldn't expect him to do the 4 TD game or the 5 TD game.
Right, not anymore, right?
And that nowadays – is like what you need to win games.
Everyone's doing that. Yeah, if everyone's doing it, but Tom Brady's not, then how valuable from a fantasy standpoint?
Everything's gone faster than he has. But he still wins games because he understands the game.
And how many times in the last 5, 6, 7 years have we wanted to count out Tom Brady, said, oh, he's old, está viejo, and then he comes back and he throws for 400 yards.
He does that, but he's not consistent because, like I said, he's comfortable winning games with just 200 yards on his back.
Exactly. This game, again, with that defense as banged up as it is, remember they also lost Von Miller. So
they're going to have an easy game.
I think this could be one of those games that's over by halftime where there's like, they're up like 28-7. And
Tampa Bay minus 6. So this isn't just an automatic put your money on the Bucks.
I mean,
Jeff Driscoll is starting, remember?
Yeah, Drew Lock out with a shoulder.
If I was Denver, I would just blitz all day, just go towards Cam Newton. That's where they go through. And if you make Cam Newton feel uncomfortable, he's not going to be able to throw,
and they're going to have no running.
I'm sorry. I have no idea why all that.
You're flipping Brady and Newton. You're flipping the page.
Sorry. What Denver needs to do is blitz, because honestly, they have nothing else going for them. Exactly. They have no
– but then you're going to gas. Then the defense is gassed. I mean, how many times can a defense blitz?
The defense is going to be gassed because, like I've already said, Tom Brady is a manager. They're going to be gassed because Tom Brady is going to have, like, 8-minute drives.
Right.
So it just sucks because I want Denver to do well. They're at home. They had a good team, but they're just all injured.
It just dissolved. Their team, like
– right? Just, like, really quickly.
Man, it's
the one thing. Sutton got injured twice already.
It's like when you open a mazapan and you think it's going to be good, then you open it and then it just crumbles. That's Denver's team right there.
I will say Melvin Gordon has a really tough matchup because Tampa Bay was one of the best run defenses last year, and they've really shut people down. I mean, they kept McCaffrey under 100
Kamara.
Yards. But Kamara did just as much damage out of
time?
In the air.
Yeah, but I guess then again, he is a different beast. Yeah, and it's unfortunate because Melvin Gordon kind of right now, this is the time where it's like, okay, Melvin Gordon, you don't want to be part of a committee? Do it because Lindsay's out. He's injured.
Exactly.
But it's just like now he doesn't have a wide receiver to help open up the field for Melvin Gordon. So now all they got to do is fill the box. And, yeah, they have not a horrible quarterback because Driscoll did good last week.
He's decent. He's definitely
super. But it's just like Melvin Gordon, when he finally gets the chance to shine, to prove that he's the number one back again, he's got no team around him. So it's just going to cave in on him. And I hope he does well as a former Charger, but – I mean, I don't see it. Especially because Georgie, like you said, Tampa Bay last year was like one of the top run defenses.
And let's also remember Cortland Sutton out for the season. So I think Jerry Jeudy and Noah Fant are going to be the top targets. KJ Hamler got a little bit of run last week, got 7 targets. So we're going to find out if he becomes something to keep an eye on, something beyond Jerry Jeudy on the wide receiver side. So he's definitely
super fast. Young team.
Yeah. Got Hector, Arizona.
Let's go. So we got Arizona going up against the Lions. Matt Stafford. We got Kyler Murray. And Kyler Murray, if you were able to watch the game at all last week, this guy he's like a video game. He's super fast. Beautiful. He's super wily and creative and just quick as hell.
He's making me smile.
Yeah, yes, I would have liked to draft him. He did an amazing job last week. Kenyon Drake, 20 carries for 86 yards. And, of course, DeAndre Hopkins is going to do DeAndre Hopkins things. Only 68 yards, but he got his score. Arizona Cardinals are favored by 5.5. They have a very, very robust over-under at 54.5. That's way up there.
That's like mostly going to be Arizona's points too.
Yeah, this is going to be, as they say, a barn burner. Stafford's going to go, hopefully, if Galladay is really back, as they're saying that he should be, Stafford should have a nice day. He did throw for 297 last week. 24 for 42. I hope Galladay's back. I just hope he is, and that finally Matt Stafford can show us what he did last year when he was healthy and had a full core of receivers. Yes, he has Marvin Jones Jr., who did go for 4 catches, 23 yards, and a score. T.J. Hockenson, who always looks great, 4 catches, 62 yards, but it's just incomplete. It's just like an incomplete puzzle over there in Detroit right now, and and it shows their record. They're currently 0-2. They should be 1-1. You know, we had that drop in the end zone. DeAndre Swift week one, which we still if you're a Lions fan, that's still got to just hurt. Even now,
a few of you
hurt more than a cracked rib and a punctured lung. But I like Arizona in this game a lot. Detroit's defense is kind of mediocre. I think I've called them middle of the road before, and Rick said nope, they're not even that. So yeah, I think Kyler Murray and company are just they're gonna have a field there. I have Kenyon Drake in my lineup fired up, ready to go. I think Kyler Murray is just gonna feast on the Detroit Lions defense, and it's gonna be high scoring. Lions are gonna be playing catch up, like you said, Rick. Cardinals are gonna have most of those points. Lions will be playing catch up, and if Galladay's back, I look for him to have a nice plate full of targets there as well. But we'll see. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch for sure. Fireworks.
It's going to be all Arizona in the beginning. And I'll tell you what, the cool thing to watch last week, Arizona doesn't take the foot off the gas pedal. They'll run up the score.
So fun.
And with a player like Kyler Murray, it's like I'm so happy they do that. Like, because they're playing Washington last week, and they had, like, a 20-7 lead or whatever, and they're still throwing deep balls. They're still going for it on fourth.
Which they should be doing. It's amazing to see.
And here's the thing. I think this week they're going to dominate. And the great thing about that is I feel like Matthew Stafford is going to have mad garbage time. Mm-hmm. He's going to be able to throw all over. And if Galladay's back, you're going to have that. I don't think we see Detroit hold a lead or at least hold the lead long. I think Arizona's going to run away with it. And because Arizona keeps building on their lead, like they don't let off, they're going to basically keep going. It's just going to cause Detroit to have to keep throwing that ball. So definitely don't have any of the runners unless you are in a PPR, because maybe they'll get points that way. But I think it's just going to be an air game all day. The only person who's going to get rushing yards is going to be Kyler Murray. And, of course, you know how great he did last week. Heck, you faced him.
Kenyon Drake's gonna be pretty good this week on the ground. On the Detroit side, I don't know who to trust in the backfield.
It's a mess. Kerryon Johnson, Adrian.
If Galladay's there, if Galladay's there, does that help the backfield?
I still don't know. I don't think this will be. It's gonna either take an injury or somebody or Matt Patricia just deciding one week. Okay, this is our guy. But he, of course, he won't tell us because he's from the Belichick tree. So it'll be,
yeah, right.
I think Galladay helps a lot with this offense, because he's just that much of a difference maker. So just special talent. I want to see him healthy, but there's a part of me that doesn't want to see him back this week because I'm playing your brother Victor. So and that was his number two pick. So
right, I know. I feel bad because Vic had Cortland Sutton too. I feel so terrible. Like his number one. I don't feel bad.
He stole Mike Evans.
Hasn't even played a game yet.
He's the commish. He puts up with us, so he's the commish. Ricky, llévanos hacia the Pacific Northwest.
All right, this is going to be a great game, and I'll tell you why. It's going to be Cowboys 1-1 at the Seahawks 2-0. Obviously, I think the Seahawks are going to win. They're favored by 5.5. They have an amazing defense held by one of the most accurate passers in Russell Wilson. The throws he threw last week were incredible, and the fact that he has receivers that can duplicate the effort he does with amazing catches, oh my goodness, Cowboys aren't going to be able to do crap. However, here's the thing. Cowboys have a great pass offense.
Yep.
And they're just going to be able to catch up in garbage time. Look what they did to the Falcons. Yeah. The difference is the Seahawks are going to continue scoring points, unlike the Falcons, who slowed down and stopped. So the Cowboys are going to have to keep firing. So maybe Zeke doesn't have a big a game rushing, but if they throw the ball to him, he's going to have a huge game. So I see Dallas doing exactly what they did last week. Dak has an easy chance of getting 400 yards. And the only reason I say that is I know Seattle's got a pretty good defense, but they're missing that 12th man. You can see the difference. Offenses aren't as scared in the fourth quarter of this team, or they don't look as confused in the fourth quarter. So looking at this game, and I hate the Cowboys, and I hate saying the word hate, but I mean – I feel like Dak's gonna go off.
No hate in 2020.
Right. That's why I hate. We can't afford it.
I think is gonna come down to whoever has the ball last.
So you think there's a chance Dallas might win? I think it's just gonna be grab all the wide receivers and quarterbacks. This game is gonna be wild. And Chris Carson. I think Chris Carson easily is gonna have a great game. Russell Wilson last week, I believe he threw 5 touchdowns to 5 different receivers, or
different
receivers.
I meant to look up when the last time that happened, because that it can't have happened very often.
And that just shows you that you need a piece of this realty, right?
Yep.
Right, Heck. So
that's right. That real estate.
To where Dallas, it's like, okay, just get on the passing game, because obviously they're going to be coming from behind, and obviously they know how to come from behind and score yards and points. So it's like, you got to get on this passing offense for Dallas. And I hate saying that, because I know my friends who are Dallas fans are all like, I know, I've been telling you that. I don't know how I feel about Dalton Schultz yet.
Well, this one I think is going to be a tough one, because usually those tight ends, they end up meeting the safety, and the safety on Seattle's side is Jamal Adams, who is a flat out all pro stud. So I actually have that question mark. I've got Dalton Schultz and Mo Alie-Cox. I picked them both on waivers on a different league, and I'm going to start Mo Alie-Cox over Schultz. I would do that too.
I think Cox has a higher ceiling.
But I think Schultz is going to have plenty of balls coming his way, because I think that the DBs are not as good, nowhere near as good as Jamal Adams. So this may be a game where Michael Gallup gets better. Maybe Prescott starts feeding him a little bit, and all this, and we haven't mentioned Zeke, and
I think that's because we know they're going to be coming from behind the whole game, or we assume they are.
Well, he's still going to catch the ball. He's been catching some balls already. So this is going to be a fun game.
Yeah.
Over under, I think, is the highest of the week at 56.5.
I'm taking the over.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's super high.
Yeah, this is going
to
be
highest. Wasn't it the indie game at 58 or something?
Oh, what is it? Really?
Or no, I thought there was a different game that was really, really high.
There was another game. I think it was the Atlanta game that was in the 50s.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I know. I mean, Lions Cardinals is 54.5. And then coming up next, Packers Saints is 52.5. But man, all these games in the 50s.
I think this game's definitely going over
56.5. That's bananas.
That's a big number. That's
it's gonna be a fun game to watch. This is gonna be the one where red zone's not gonna be able to catch a lot of the action because it's all gonna be in the air for over 20 yards.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, this is the only. This is the biggest. This is far and away the biggest score. The Atlanta game is 48.5. So,
well,
yeah, it's, yeah.
And I don't have a piece of either in any of my leagues. So it'll be exciting to watch anyways.
Packers at Saints. Packers are 2-0. Saints are 1-1 on Sunday Night Football. As my primo mentioned, it's a 52.5 over under. New Orleans is favored by 3 in a game where, I think they're going to get that. They're going to try and get that taste out of their mouth over the clunker that they had on Monday Night Football. But the Saints, I'm saying. But
yep,
Aaron Rodgers has been fantastic.
He just looks so hot right now.
He looks like five years ago. Mm-hmm. And he looks wonderful. I mean, keep an eye on Davante Adams. He did not practice. He did not start out the week practicing. So keep an eye on the Friday.
Nor does he because he's a veteran. So that's what the tricky part is.
Yeah, and it seems like, you know, just looking at the injury reports, a lot of people are treating Wednesdays as kind of like a maintenance day, and a lot of the veterans are sitting down. But Rodgers, Aaron Jones, 236 total yards last week.
Ugly good.
He was incredible. So, you know, you want to have, you know, Marquez Valdes-Scantling or Alan Lazard, you know, kind of like your finger on the trigger. And, you know, if you hear that Davante Adams is out for this game, so that'll be good. But, I mean, you fire up those guys. One guy to keep an eye on, Robert Tonyan. He caught a touchdown last week on 2 balls. That's really if you're desperate and, you know, and you're still trying, you know, you got shut out on Dalton Schultz and Mo Ali Cox. And, I mean, I'd probably take Chris Herndon over Tonyan, but yeah, I don't want to make that decision. But you know,
it's nice to know that if people get bad luck in the beginning of the games, you gave them an option for Sunday Night Football.
Yep,
he's probably like 10% owned.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like you want to make that decision late. You know, New Orleans, Drew Brees. You know, his arm strength. It's definitely. It looks a lot like the last couple seasons with Peyton Manning, where he was not taking shots down the field, but he knows what to do. He knows where to throw it. And, but I really think he misses Michael Thomas.
So he's a game time manager now with Brady. They both became managers.
Without Michael Thomas, I think so. But I think with Michael Thomas, I think he's a bit different. Alvin Kamara, you know, all of a sudden we're not hearing anything about his back. How interesting is that?
Don't send anything.
Oh, okay. I still got the veladora lit for him.
Knock on wood.
It's still in the back of my head every time I see him play.
You know, every time he gets hit. But Traquan Smith was someone that was intriguing. You know, 5 catches for 86 yards last week because Emmanuel, that's Webster. Emmanuel Sanders. Thank you for the laugh, Ray. He only had 1 catch with 1 minute left in the game. So, I don't know if he's viable. I don't love I didn't love Jared Cook coming into this game. I think this game has some sneaky play because those games in the Superdome, you know, I just keep remembering that game last year between the Saints and the 49ers. That was like 48-46. You know, both teams were coming in with like top 5 defenses, and boom, you see that. So I don't know what it is about the turf or the nightlife in New Orleans. So well, they shouldn't be doing nightlife in COVID. So we'll see that. But yeah, I don't. This is a good game. This is going to be a fun game on Sunday Night Football.
And I think you saw Dalvin Cook. He still did amazing against Green Bay. So I feel like Kamara's still going to be a safe bet because he's your first-round pick, or in my case, second-round pick. The only thing is I still wonder if Traquan Smith, with with Michael Thomas being out, what, another 3-4 weeks, is he worth having on your team after seeing Breeze kind of flop the last 2 weeks? I just don't know about him, especially because he got me a bunch of zeros the past 2 years. So my heart's a little hurt. But, mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like you can't down Drew Breeze. This game looks like it reminds me of Tampa Bay versus New Orleans, except in this case, Green Bay will be playing the part of New Orleans and Drew Brees will be playing the part of Tom Brady in the sense that he'll look good, but just Aaron Rodgers is going to look way better. Aaron Jones is going to look way better, and mm-hmm. they're just going to be a more healthy unit. They'll score like 42 points. New Orleans will score 31, which is still a lot, but in the end, I think Green Bay's got this one.
Yep, yep.
Yeah, well, the game of the century, this year's game of the century, Hector.
AFC close Championship preview.
Dun, dun, dun.
Close
Monday
us
night
out.
Football, ladies another and
big,
gentlemen.
Another big over-under.
So, yeah, 53.5. Baltimore Ravens are hosting the Kansas City Chiefs. Both teams are 2-0. This is a battle of the big boys. Patrick Mahomes going head-to-head versus Lamar Jackson. This is like Ali Frazier, what was that, like 1973, like the Thriller in Manila. This is like the two heavyweights of the NFL. You finally get to watch these guys go head-to-head. It's like you were the MVP a couple years ago, Mahomes. I'm the MVP last year, Lamar Jackson. Let's see who's worthy of it this year. Both these guys are hyper-competitive. Both these guys are going to be coming out to show everyone that I'm worthy of the MVP this year. And they're going to do everything to absolutely show that they are worthy of that. Pat Mahomes coming off a great game last week, which he generally has great games, 302 yards, two scores. Lamar Jackson, 204 yards, one touchdown, and 16 rushing attempts. So this guy, the guy is always going to be running, as is Mahomes. Both of these teams, I mean, what can you say? You're going to be firing up everyone that you have on both of these two offenses. These are the 1A, 1B most explosive offenses in the NFL. You might want to throw in Green Bay in there possibly too, maybe as a 1C. But gosh, KC Baltimore, my God, this is going to be a fun game to watch. Baltimore's got a crazy good defense. Kansas City has a very good defense, not as quite as elite as Baltimore, but still very good. And it's going to be a great game to watch. As I said, it's going to be Monday night. All eyes are going to be focused on this game. Fire up everyone. Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, Mecole Hardman even. Throw him in there. He might get a score. And then on the Baltimore side, you're definitely firing up Marquise Brown and Mark Andrews. From a running game standpoint for Baltimore, it's a little bit weird. You got Dobbins, Ingram, Gus Edwards. Got a little bit of committee there. Kansas City, CEH all day long. Other than that, just sit back and just watch the fireworks.
This is gonna be, I think you start everybody in this game.
Oh, right. 100%, Georgie. Why not?
Right.
Just however, this is how the game is going to go down, guys. Baltimore has a great defense compared to Kansas City's. So that I feel like after you saw what Mahomes did last week and even the week before, he's becoming more of a manager in the sense that he's not throwing these super deep balls and getting these long touchdowns or making these. He's tight knit. And what I see here is Baltimore is basically going to be able to hold them for the first half, if not three quarters. But then after that, it's going to be the Patrick Mahomes show. And I feel like Baltimore has a lot to prove this game because they're not Super Bowl champions like KC, yet they had the MVP. So I feel like they're going to try real hard here. And I feel like KC just has to play the game their way. And Patrick Mahomes is easily going to win it. He's going to look slow in the beginning. And at the end, he's going to come real fast. And Baltimore's just not going to know what's going on with him. I really don't like the Baltimore running game. There's too many cooks in the kitchen, I guess you could say, because Edwards, Ingram, Dobbins, like every week it's different. Edwards led the backfield. Like, who would have guessed that? So
that was probably that was probably on purpose, just to keep the looking forward to the KC game.
Football's just become the biggest chess game in the world.
Oh yeah,
now, so
just to screw with KC. Can see that. Oh yeah, just to screw with KC. Like you don't know who's going to be our this week. It's Gus Edwards. You have no idea what we're doing against you guys. So yeah, they're definitely keep them off balance. Chess, exactly.
But and I definitely think both teams need their big players to play big game, because I mean, it's just, I mean, you're going to need Mark Andrews and Marquise Brown to both get a lot of yards and receptions, because on the other side, you're going to have Tyreek Hill and Kelce and CEH able to eat up yards. So it's just going to be, it's going to be a great game to watch, a fun game to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. It's like, this is my favorite game. I know the Cowboy game looked good, but I have like 8 players on this game. So it's exciting.
The yep. one thing to keep an eye on, Sammy Watkins took a huge hit during the last game against the Chargers. So to see if he's in any kind of he gets
protocol
out of practice or goes into any concussion.
I gotta stop making projections because they come out right, but only because of injuries.
Yeah,
right.
So we're gonna, because I told you Watkins is not gonna get what he did week 1 or even half of that ever again the rest of the year.
Yeah, vamos a ver. But yeah, this is gonna be so much fun. Just get your cerveza, get your palomitas, and just enjoy it.
And this might be the first game where Mecole Hardman actually does what everyone wants him to do.
I think so. I'm starting him on one of my team with the deep starting lineup. So, with like my fourth flex position. So, enjoy. Let's enjoy Monday Night Football. Enjoy football for the weekend. Bueno, everybody. Eso es todo for our show. Thanks again to Anchor.fm for being our hosting network and for making sure our independent podcast gets out into the Familia community. Please make sure you subscribe and leave us a review at Spotify, Apple, Google, or wherever you get your podcasts. And remember, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at FamiliaFFB, on our FamiliaFFB.com website, as well as our FamiliaFFB Facebook page. Gracias, everybody. Todos somos familia.
Adios, amigos.
Salud.